a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. KSL News Time is now 8 o'clock. Today is Tuesday. It's October 26th. This is Utah's Morning News. I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. Right now we have light rain and 38 degrees.
Those wet roads are really causing slowdowns this morning, especially on I-15. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
Our top story this hour.
Severe Utah weather.
We have it all this morning. Rain, we have snow, and the numbers have been impressive, even as the storm lightens up along the Wasatch Front.
KSL News Radio's Mary Richards has been out on the roads all morning and joins us live. Mary?
Amanda, lots of big puddles and standing water, floating leaves in those gutters, making them float and flood as I look around. KSL meteorologist Grant Wayman says this storm has put us in the top 10 wettest Octobers for Salt Lake City, with well over 3 inches of water this month so far. And it's not done. The snow's still falling in the Cottonwood Canyons. I've seen the plows out there. The ski resorts even getting more snow because this rain, this storm should last through the early afternoon, should slowly taper off. It is getting a little bit lighter, in fact, right now, at least downtown. Live, Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
Severe weather also approaching the East Coast. Flood warnings are in effect from New Jersey to Boston with the first nor'easter of the season.
New York City officials urging people living in basements to plan ahead after 11 people died in flooded basements last month in the wake of Hurricane Ida. The storm system already wreaking havoc in the heartland.
Look at this strong tornado.
More than a dozen tornadoes reported in Missouri and Illinois. And in the West, the strongest storm ever recorded in the Pacific Northwest, turning deadly, whipping winds, downing trees, killing 2 people in Washington.
ABC's Mona Kosar Abdi reporting.
Utah's changing climate.
In-depth coverage
on KSL News Radio.
Continuing our series now on the Great Salt Lake and how the shrinking lake impacts our local ecosystem. Experts are sharing their perspectives on how to save the Great Salt Lake. KSL News Radio's Nick Wyatt has more.
Biology professor and director of the Great Salt Lake Institute at Westminster College, Dr. Bonnie Baxter, says her research over the last 2 decades paints a grim picture.
Leaving us in a place where the lake may not recover.
The shrinking Great Salt Lake poses a number of problems, potentially toxic dust in the air, damage to ecosystems and animals, as well as an impact on our snow seasons.
I think it's really critical that we monitor this and that we understand what's going on and that we seek solutions that involve getting water to the lake.
Dr. Baxter and University of Utah Associate Professor Dr. Kevin Perry say the next legislative session might see some ways to get water out to the lake by reducing some of the diversions.
So every water donation, every secured water right actually makes a difference for the future of the lake.
As for the dust problem, Dr. Perry says there's a thin protective crust over the lake bed, and we need to protect it.
Which means we really need to prevent or eliminate and make sure that ATVs are not allowed on the lake bed.
If not, he says the dust storms will just get bigger and happen more often. Nick Wyatt, KSL News Radio.
Prosecutors say the Salt Lake Police Department employee who aided a prostitution ring should be held without bail because he knowingly endangered the lives of countless law enforcement officers. KSL News Radio's Heather Kelly is live with the details. Heather.
Tim, the attorney for Patrick Driscoll states his client is being wrongly portrayed as a dangerous criminal mastermind because every low-level technology employee with Salt Lake City has access to the same information Driscoll is accused of gathering. Charging documents in the human trafficking case state Driscoll collected the identities of undercover officers and other police operations to help another man with his prostitution ring. KSL.com reports law enforcement believes Driscoll may have more hidden digital information, making his risk unmanageable if he's released from jail. Live, Heather Kelly, KSL News Radio.
KSL's top national stories this hour. Medical experts say parents should start planning vaccination appointments for their children. As an FDA panel meets today to vote on whether to recommend Pfizer's low-dose COVID vaccine for 5 to 11-year-olds. ABC's Faith Abube begins our team coverage.
Moms like Chris Erickson.
You want to go back to school?
I'm back to school.
Whose 10-year-old son, Bentley, has been homebound due to a complex medical condition, eager to get him the shots.
He has not played with his friends since February of 2020, and he would do just about anything to be able to go out on the playground again.
But a Kaiser Family Foundation survey finds that about a third of parents with potentially eligible children are hesitant about letting them get the shots.
So what are the side effects for kids who get the smaller dose of Pfizer vaccine? Dr. Melissa St. Germain is the medical director for the Children's Hospital in Omaha, Nebraska, and has been going over the clinical trial data.
They have about the same rates of sore arm, fever, and potentially just a little bit extra fatigue and headache for 24 to 48 hours after the vaccine.
She says the side effects are normal and mean the vaccines are working.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.